I'm coming to USF Tampa as part of a short tour of campuses in Florida and in North America. And I'm going to be speaking on this tour about Israeli incitement, specifically incitement by top political and religious figures in Israel, incitement to racism, incitement to violence. It's based on my reporting, on-the-ground reporting, the last 5 years, and specifically that reached a zenith, really, the incitement this summer, this past summer, during the assaults on Gaza. It was incredibly intense, and so there's a focus on what transpired this summer, but it also reflects on the last 5 years of my on-the-ground reporting there.
Give us an example of some of the incitement you're talking about. I imagine that you have heard politicians say things that might cause people to be violent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really so many examples, but just briefly, we're talking about people at the highest echelons of government, lawmakers, ministers, speakers of the parliament, and up to the prime minister, calling for vengeance, calling for killing, calling for ethnic cleansing, calling for genocide, calling to mutilate sexual organs of people deemed to be, you know, enemies, calling for people to be sent to gas chambers. I mean, you know, some of it's straight from the top, some of it's from, you know, rabble. And of course, in any society, you have people who resort to the lowest level of calls for violence. But really, we have here documented again and again and again, people at the highest levels of power making these statements, some of them veiled, some of them using references to biblical passages. And so you have to parse them and you have to be familiar with some of the tropes and the references. But sometimes, you know, very blatantly, without any filter through biblical language, just out and out saying, calling for discrimination, extermination rather, and other such atrocities. So it's pretty scandalous, especially because it would seem, although I'm not based here, it would seem that it's barely ever reported on in the North American media. It's disconcerting for people who live here and expect to have a well-rounded, you know, picture of what's happening there. It would be fair to say you're not receiving one if you're not hearing about the level of incitement to racism that's going on in Israel today.
And one example that our listeners might be familiar about is a Tampa resident who happened to be on vacation in Palestine before the main war in Gaza started this summer. And his cousin had been killed, perhaps by mobs that were incited by some of the speech you're talking about. What can you say about the violence that was inflicted upon Tariq Abu Qadir, the Tampa resident, and his cousin?
Certainly that event that transpired this summer was one of the most shocking and had the very far-reaching ramifications. I mean, first of all, let's talk about Mohammed Abu Qadir. It's fair to say that Netanyahu ordered the hit on him. I don't mind saying that because I think it's a valid statement to make. At a time when they discovered the bodies of these three Israeli teenagers that had been found, that had been murdered, when the country was baying for blood and people were calling for so-called vengeance, meaning actually calls to inflict violence on Palestinian people, what did he do? Instead of calming tensions and calling for justice, which would have been a legitimate call, he called for vengeance. In other words, he triggered what we saw in the 24 hours that followed, in the 36 hours that followed, where a group of Jewish Israelis went, kidnapped, beat, and poured gasoline down the throat of Mohammed Abu Qadir and lit him on fire, burned him to death from the inside out. It's atrocious. And what you'll soon see for people who come tonight to my presentation is that in the days that followed, you had certainly people who were horrified by this and repulsed by it, but you also had people who cheered it on and were like, yeah, great, that's awesome, we need more acts like that. Besides Netanyahu, he had many other top officials in the Israeli government and Israeli public figures who were calling for vengeance. And you had, just as one example, the head of the largest Jewish religious youth group in the world, B'nai Akiva, which is affiliated with one of the government factions. And the head of the Jewish youth group, he actually called for going out and not just killing 300 plus Palestinians, but scalping their penises and bringing back their foreskins as war trophies. You can't really get much sicker than that. I mean, that's pretty vile. And that person was never removed from his position. He holds that position to this day. He never had to apologize for his call to mutilate the sexual organs of Palestinians. That's just one example among many, sadly. And I'll detail many, 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 many more tonight. So I encourage people who are interested in this topic, whatever your political background, whatever your ethnic affiliation, to come out tonight to the school and to hear and listen to some of the documentation that I will provide. And of course, I encourage people to follow up on that and do web searches afterwards to confirm the fact that I'm not making this stuff up. But it's all been reported on in at least the Israeli media, if not further. And you know, again, I just want to say there's nothing really special about what I've done. You know, I'm not a bad writer. I'm not a bad filmmaker, but I don't have any special talents. It's just that there's such a dearth of reporting on this racist incitement. Really, anyone who speaks Hebrew and English fluently could do it. Sadly, mainstream media is doing a disservice to its constituents and not reporting on stuff, which is frankly horrifying and creating an environment where I live, where racist mobs run through the streets of cities in Israel. And frankly, we're at the point where downtown Jerusalem has already been ethnically cleansed of Palestinians. If I can contribute to greater awareness of the problem and maybe in some small way contribute to a call for change and improvement in the situation where we don't have to see racist mobs running through the street or any level of discrimination, but I mean, we're seriously seeing a tipping point where it's just really over beyond the pale, to put it mildly.
What do you think could happen in order to tip it toward mm-hmm. less violence?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, first of all, people have to even know that it exists without even knowing that it exists. And for that to happen, we have to break through the curtain of the mainstream media. So alternative media is important and social media is important. I think that there's certain leverage points that we have here. I think that here in Tampa, the fact that the Abu Khdeir family, you know, is rooted here, certainly, you know, that Tampa residents have a special role to play because of the recent history.